Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Mickey Bot Podcast, the most magical podcast on earth, as I like to call it. I am your host, Jared Talbot, alongside Alyssa Antonelli, the co-owner of Mickey Travels, and we will be speaking about Mickey Travels later on in the episode. We talk all things Disney here at the Mickey Bot Podcast, and we are so excited to be back with you for another episode. Today, we are talking once again all about dining. We are on a series currently on this podcast where we discuss dining guides to each of the Walt Disney World theme parks and how you can go about dining at each park, whether it's quick service, whether it's just getting an ice cream, whether it's sit-downs, character meals, bars, lounges, the whole nine yards. And we'll be discussing Animal Kingdom today. Super excited to be doing that. We discussed Magic Kingdom last week. But here we are, another episode. It's going to be fun. Before we jump in, Alyssa, how are you doing?
I am doing awesome, Jared. I'm always up for talking about food and drinks.
I know.
And snacks. You know, you wanted Same. Me to talk about that. I'm good. And Disney's Animal Kingdom has some great options. So I'm excited. I love our series. I'm kind of into the series idea that we come up with, because I feel like, you know, sometimes when you have an idea, people want more, you know, and it's really hard to talk about all the food, all the drinks, all the snacks, all throughout Walt Disney World Resort in one episode. I mean, we could do it, but it would be like a 6-hour episode. And I don't know if we have a lot of people hanging on.
Yeah, I don't know how many people would be listening and watching that one. But, you know, it's worth a shot. Maybe we'll do a 6-hour episode sometime.
Let's do like a marathon episode, and we'll see how many people are left like at 3 a.m.
There we go. Good idea. I we'll see what stragglers outside of like my mom and my brother are still hanging on.
Really committed to the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, who's with us?
Show us your real commitment. But as always, we're excited to be back. And this episode and every episode is brought to you by Mickey Travels. We'll talk more about Mickey Travels later on in the episode, but we're going to jump right in, dive right in, however you want to say it. Get your stomachs ready, because we're talking food yet again. As Alyssa said, we always like to talk about dining and food when it comes to the Disney parks on this podcast, just because when it comes to planning your Disney vacation, and that's a lot of what we try to discuss on the podcast, is helping you plan your Disney trips. You know, when it comes to planning, oftentimes people are thinking about, of course, you know, getting Genie or getting, you know, your reservations and making sure you have a good hotel and making sure you have transportation sorted out. But dining can be a huge part of your Walt Disney World vacation. And we want to make sure you are eating the right things and enjoying it while you're there. And one of my favorite things about Animal Kingdom is I think it's kind of started to make a transition away from being the underrated food theme park. It's starting to get more recognized, but it's always been to me the most like underrated food spot in Walt Disney World. Like, you don't think of it right off the bat, but there is so much good food over there, and I'm super excited to talk about it. And there's also a lot of really great grab-and-go quick options that I'm excited to mention as well. So we are going to jump right in. The first thing I want to discuss here when we're going to talk about Animal Kingdom is alcohol, because you can get alcoholic beverages at
Jared
Animal Kingdom.
Jared talking about alcohol.
Look, I know I'm a big Disney bar guy, bar lounges. I'm into it, but I know, mixing it up. But look,
that was kind of a pun, mixing the drinks.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. Let's mix it up together. So, no, but when it comes to Magic Kingdom, as we discussed, you can only get alcoholic beverages if you are going to a sit-down location. However, at Animal Kingdom, that is not the case. There are beverages you can get. Obviously, you can get a beer at your popcorn stand and things like that. But there's also bars and lounges here. And one lounge in particular I want to spend a few minutes on, and I think Alyssa knows what I'm going to mention here, but a lot of people love this location. It's become, if you are searching top 5 bars, lounges at Walt Disney World, this is going to be listed there on many of them. And that is the Nomad Lounge. The Nomad Lounge is located as you walk into the park. If you're going to turn left, and head over towards Pandora, the world of Avatar. It is right over there, and it is a fantastic lounge. It's right on the river. You can see flotillas going by with character floats, things like that. There's lots of really cool little appetizers. In my opinion, the best churros you can actually get in Walt Disney World, mostly because it's Disneyland. I know it is, but I don't think so, because Disneyland has the good churros. Okay. They have all the good churros out there.
Okay. I'm just going to say this, Jared. Can I throw this idea out here?
I'm ready. Yeah.
This is going to be a tough one, but I think we need to have, and I'm sorry, I promise I'm going to say this and jump out so we can get back in. I don't mean to derail us. We need to do an episode on Walt Disney World v. Disneyland food. It's going to be a battle. I'm up for it. I'm here for it.
I think it would be fun. My only issue is that I've gone to Disneyland one time and everything I ate was incredible. So I'm going to be biased and just be like, yeah, Disneyland's amazing, just because everything I ate over there was so good. But look, I think it's a good idea because everybody loves, food. So Disneyland has amazing food, and we can absolutely discuss Disneyland food at some point in the future. Yeah. But
I think it should be like the Walt Disney World v. Disneyland food. I mean, I'm not trying to pin the two against each other, but we could talk about some of the differences.
Look, I agree. I think it's a good idea, because
back to our regularly scheduled program.
Okay, back to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, that's Animal Kingdom. I had us on the West Coast. Let's come back.
It's okay. It's all right. Look, sometimes I derail us and go towards Disneyland too. So Nomad Lounge is truly, as I was mentioning, in my opinion, has the best churros in Walt Disney World. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they are just a little bit more fresh and smaller and homemade comparatively to a lot of the churros you're going to find at a churro cart. But they have a lot of cocktails that are very fun and unique that you can't find at other bars across Walt Disney World. It's a very fun atmosphere. The theming's really cool. So I think if there is a bar that you're going to stop at Animal Kingdom, it should be this one. But it should be noted that a lot of people are thinking the same thing. This is a very busy bar and lounge. Usually you are able to walk in and sit at the actual bar itself. However, if you want like a table to sit outside and sit right near the water that's going by and things like that, you are going to want to put your name on the wait list. And on busy days, Alyssa, I've seen that wait list get up as big as 2-2.5 hours. So it's a very serious thing in terms of that. You don't have to make advanced reservations, but just be aware of that. In terms of other bars located throughout the park, there is the Dawa Bar. This is located in Africa, the Africa section of the park. That's going to be more over by the safari. There's a Thirsty River Bar that is located over by Expedition Everest. Those are both walk-up bars, not exactly like lounge, sit down inside sort of thing. The Walrung Outpost is another walk-up bar in between Asia and Africa. And Yak and Yeti does have a bar outside as well as a bar inside. So, and beyond that, again, of course, you can go to different locations throughout the park. And I wanted to quickly mention, if you're going to get the full Animal Kingdom experience, then maybe go over to Pandora and try a green beer. Because, you know, it's just something you got to do if you're going to be over there. I know a lot of people are, I remember when the green beers first came out and Pandora first opened, people are like, what is this? This is the strangest thing, but it's a fun thing, for dads. And I see a lot of dads walking around with green beers.
You know, what's funny, Jared, is when you mentioned that, one of the things that I thought about when we started this episode and you mentioned just about, you know, Animal Kingdom, you know, with their offerings. The thing I think is, and you mentioned about it was sort of underrated. The thing about Animal Kingdom, which I think is great in terms of their food and drink offerings, is I think a lot of it is very unique.
Yeah.
You know, that you're not going to find, you know, other places. And, you know, again, that doesn't mean that you won't find something kind of unique at one of the other parks, but, you know, it's a little bit more straight and sort of to the point with the other parks. I just feel like this is the food and drinks are part of the storytelling at Animal Kingdom.
I think that's a good way to put it. You know, for example, a bar lounge that I didn't even have listed that just added a new sort of offering that Mickey Blog wrote an article for is over at Restaurantosaurus. In the lounge in there, they added a new intern who plays music. And I went to – I covered that story, and I went and checked him out. And it was so cool how they really immerse you into the Dinoland story, and you're in this restaurant, but you're in this corner with a lounge. So you're having a drink, but you're a part of the story. Like, I just – I find it really unique. And I do hope with whatever they retheme – Dinoland too, because we know that's coming, because every single major Disney executive has said it's coming. It is in fact coming. We just don't know what and when, and we'll find that out, I'm sure. But either way, I do hope that continues in regards to being able to fully the food and the drinks and being a part of the story. Because Alyssa, picture if they do put Encanto over there and they have all this South American fare. I mean, look at how busy and popular typically the Encanto booth over in Epcot usually is. I think people would be very excited to be immersed in the food and the drinks over in that sort of world. So I think it's a really good point that you just brought up. So the next thing we're going to chat about is going to be snacks, you know, grab and go options, as well as quick service, because as we talked about extensively in the last episode, quick service is, you know, very popular for families going to Walt Disney World. We discussed it for quite a while at Magic Kingdom because there's a lot of quick service options at Magic Kingdom. But that's still the case here. To put it in perspective, there's 41 locations, total dining locations at Magic Kingdom. There's 32 at Animal Kingdom. So it's not like there's, you know, that much less. You know, you'd think it'd be a lot less. It's actually not. There's a lot of little stands and quick places to grab things at Animal Kingdom. So we're going to talk about some of those fun options when it comes to snacks and things like that, because I have a feeling several of these Alyssa is going to want to spend a few minutes talking about, because I'm a huge fan of some of these, and I know that it's worth mentioning. So let's talk right away when it comes to quick little grab and go spots. I want to talk about a few ice cream spots, because people love ice cream, people love desserts, and I think Animal Kingdom has a few really cool spots for this as opposed to other parks. For example, the Ondapour ice cream truck. This is a beautiful, like bright blue, colorful ice cream truck located in Asia. As you're walking over towards Expedition Everest, you can get over there, and they have like sundaes and things like that. It's very cool. Super, super fun to visit there. So if you are looking for an ice cream, especially on those hot days, it's very, very good spot. But another spot I want to mention, Alyssa, and this is kind of something I'm a little bummed out about them getting rid of with Dinoland, is Dino Bites. I really love Dino Bite snacks, because they have these ice cream cookie sandwiches over there that are so good. And they, you can also get a coffee with a scoop of ice cream in it. I mean, there's a lot of really cool options over there that I don't think you can find pretty much anywhere else on property. So I'm a little sad they're taking away my ice cream sandwiches. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. I can live without Dinoland if I'm getting Indiana Jones and Encanto and all these cool franchises. Like, I get that. But the ice cream sandwiches, like, that's where I draw the line, you know?
Say, when you bring up ice cream, the cool thing, and Jared, I don't know if you'll agree with me. I don't know if our viewers and listeners will, but there, and it might just be me, but there's something about, and this isn't a negative, it is just a fact. I think Animal Kingdom always feels hotter than any other park. I mean, is that a fact? Is that an illusion?
I think that's fair.
In Animal Kingdom.
Well, it's interesting because they surround you with all these animals that are normally located in places like Africa and some of the hottest places on Earth. So you're naturally feeling like, I should feel like I'm hot here, right?
I'm on the Serengeti.
Yeah, I'm There's an elephant. Like, I'm supposed to be hot.
I feel like I'm in Africa and it's 190. But going back to your ice cream, like, I think it's a really good point because feeling as hot as I usually do at Animal Kingdom, ice cream just is, it I don't want to say it tastes better at Animal Kingdom. I don't think I would go that far, but I need it more. I need to cool down. And, you know, when you're kind of walking around Animal Kingdom and you're feeling hot, it is a refreshing snack to grab an ice cream. So I think that that was a great place to sort of start because I'm hot a lot at Animal Kingdom. And ice cream really kind of helps me out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And these are not the only few locations you can get these sort of pick-me-up options to cool down, if you will. For example, Caravan Road is another quick service little grab-and-go booth that's going to be located in between Asia and Africa as you're walking towards over there. If you stop here, you can find a lot of frozen drinks, both for your kids. I believe they have options for adults too, but a lot of them are going to be like, okay, we have frozen orange juice and pineapple. And it's, there are a lot of refreshing drinks like that. Drink Walla is another option like that. They serve a lot of frozen drinks, things of that nature. So you're going to find a lot of options all across Animal Kingdom that are going to be, hey, we know it's hot, here's a refreshment kind of thing. Same thing as if you're going to one of the water parks. They know you're there on a hot day, which if we do an episode about the eats at the water parks, we can talk about, you know, some of those things. If you're going to go to Typhoon Lagoon, like there's some great options for you. So Tamu Tamu is another one of those options. Tamu Tamu is located in Africa. This is your Dole Whip stand. You can go get a Dole Whip. You can go get ice cream. You can get Dole Whip floats. I've had a Dole Whip float there before that we covered. They do floats with like Fanta and pineapple juice.
Gotta eat them fast though, because they're going
to melt. Yeah, they are going to melt. So be aware of that.
And I also want to mention, Jared, just real quick, in terms of you kind of were honing in on drinks and things like that. Another great place that it's kind of like on the way in is Creature Comforts, which is their Starbucks location. So I always think, you know, that's obviously a great place to start your day. Go in, grab your favorite, you know, iced coffee or, you know, refresher drink, you know, grab a quick snack and be on your way. And so, of course, as we know, all the parks have a Starbucks. This one, I always feel Creature Comforts is never, it's crowded, but I never feel overwhelmed there. Like I can sometimes at some of the other, I mean, Jared, you know, when I was laughing the other day, Jared, you were in Epcot and you took a picture of the Starbucks in Epcot and there was nobody in line. You're like, whoa. And that's unheard. Like, you know, usually that is a crazy, you know, Creature Comforts seems very reasonable in terms of just go in, you get served pretty quickly and you're out. Like, do you find that as well?
I do find that as well. I think part of it is location. I think with Main Street Bakery, you are right there. People are walking into the park and they're like, I need my coffee. And they see the coffee right there. So they go in and it gets so busy. It's the same sort of deal with Epcot. Yeah, Connection is right there. If you're walking in Epcot, you're going to head towards Creations in the center of the park and you are going to see, you know, the Starbucks sign and you're going to be like, hey, whoa, I need that. So with Creature Comforts, I do like that it's a little bit out of the way. The only thing I will say, if people are first arriving to Animal Kingdom and they're like, I need a coffee, don't worry because there is a Joffrey stand right outside of the park. Yeah. That is unique to Animal Kingdom. A lot of parks will have, you know, Joffrey's, but this is cool how they have two Joffrey's locations at Animal Kingdom. There's one Joffrey's right outside the park. There's another one towards the center back of the park in Asia. So while some parks have one Joffrey's or two, or some have multiple, Epcot has the most Joffrey's with like four or five. You can get two. There's two Joffrey's locations and a Creature Comforts, which is Starbucks. So there's three different locations to get your coffee. So have no fear if you do need a coffee. However, there's a few spots that I'm going to mention that actually serve very cool and very good coffee that I would recommend going one of there to get a unique Disney coffee that isn't just, you know, located at a Starbucks or Joffrey's. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. In fact, Alyssa, I would like to do an episode down the line where we just talk about Disney coffees and breakfast locations all across property, because there's so many good ones.
Yeah. And it's what people need to start their day. It's a great engine starter. And sometimes people mm-hmm. don't know. I think that's a great idea, Jared, because sometimes people don't know, other than maybe their resort, you know, where do they go? Where are these locations? You know, they're shuffling with a map and they're like, I need my coffee. And like you said, obviously you're going to pass by the Main Street Bakery, you're going to pass by Connections. But if you're into the park already, where do you go? It'd be really kind of nice to give a little bit of some guidance as to how to start your day with a breakfast sandwich, a coffee, a pick-me-up, just to, you know, get that fuel to enjoy your morning. Mm-hmm.
Look, I remember many, many trips, and it still happens to this day, when if my siblings all come down, even though we're all in our 20s now, the last time they all came down and we did a Disney day a few years ago, my stepdad shows up and I walked right up to him with a large coffee and put it in his hand, because he always started this day with like the biggest coffee you've ever seen, because he just knows, okay, I got five kids, a big Disney day, I gotta pick me up. So it is important to, and I'm glad we spent a few minutes talking about coffee locations, because people do need to know about that, and quick breakfast options as well. So moving on though to the rest of the snack and quick options before we completely shift over to more like quick service, where you can sit down in the AC and get a meal, things like that, lunch options. I want to mention a few other quick, unique spots. For example, Trillo Bites is a little stand over in Dinoland USA. What's unique about this is you can get buffalo chicken chips, which is really cool. That's not something that is available almost anywhere else. So that's a unique little snack over there. A lot of Disney fans love that. Pongu Pongu is a quick service option that you can get in Pandora, the World of Avatar. A lot of people like Pongu Pongu. That is the location where you can get a green beer, but it's also the location you can get frozen non-alcoholic beverages. I always see the kids walking around with those because they have the little bobas in them. Very fun drinks, but you can also get huge pretzels. It's one of the spots where you can get the pretzels that you could get at the Germany Pavilion in Epcot. And not to mention, they also have a few unique breakfast options over there as well. So if you get over there before 10:30 in the morning, you can actually get things like a big cinnamon roll, French toast sticks, things like that. Very unique options that you're not going to find at your Starbucks or your Joffrey's. So a few of those spots I did want to spend a few quick, seconds mentioning. Isle of Java is another spot. As you're walking over, you walk into the park and you go right. If you're walking towards Dinoland, you'll spot Isle of Java. This is a little quick service stand where you can get pastries. You can also get a quick coffee. There's a few coffee options over there. Cool little spot. And other than that, there are a few more lunch-oriented places I want to talk about next. These are not full quick service meals. This isn't like, you know, Columbia Harbor House where you're sitting down, but that's the unique part of Animal Kingdom. They have more than usual of these options where you can just grab. There's like three things on the menu and you grab it and go, and they're very good. So let's talk about a few of those next. For example, Eight Spoon Cafe. This is a mac and cheese stand. Okay. That's very cool because that's not a thing at many of the other parks. That's in fact, outside of the mac and cheese food truck at Disney Springs, that's just not really a thing anywhere in Walt Disney World. So there you can get mac and cheese loaded up with different ingredients. Very popular little stand. If you walk into the park, turn right towards Asia, you'll be able to walk right into it. So beyond that, there's another one called Terra Treats on the left side. If you're walking towards Africa, this has pizza, really quick pizza slices if you're trying to get that for your family. So really the main point I'm getting to, Alyssa, is like it's kind of amazing how many of these little options exist at Animal Kingdom, because now that we're listing them all out, it's probably like you're probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking, which is like, wow, I kind of forget how much there is over there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm thinking to myself as you're telling me where things are. I'm like, yes, I know. But, you know, you tend to go, wow. And then I'm also kind of intrigued going, I think I want to try all these things again.
I know.
And I also wanted to mention, you know, something that I always, when I think of Animal Kingdom, you know, right before you get on the safari, there's like a little cart off to the right. And I love that they have those whole pickles. They have the whole dill pickles. And I'm not talking a pickle spear or a pickle chip. This is the, I mean, the whole dill pickle. A lot of people eat, I don't know what it is, but I see a lot of people, it's, I feel like the dill pickle in Animal Kingdom is like the turkey leg in Magic Kingdom. You just see people like just going at this big dill. I mean, when, Jared, I don't know about you, but like, I don't normally just sit around the house eating a whole dill pickle. You know what I mean? Like, and these are big, right? You know, kind of thing.
Yep.
But I think it's fun. You know, one of my favorite treats, because obviously there's in the stores, you know, they have areas that, you know, they have like little treats where you can get your cupcakes and your, if I'm not mistaken, is it Zuri's treats or sweets? I don't want to get that wrong.
No, nope, anyway, that's correct.
And one of the things that I always love at Animal Kingdom, I don't know where else they have this, and they may have it elsewhere, is the chocolate-covered pineapple spear.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, that is one good treat. It comes on a stick. It's a pineapple spear, and it's dipped in dark chocolate.
And what's interesting—
not a bad way to be, you know, wandering on Animal Kingdom eating one of those.
Not at all. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because that's something that used to be located at Disney Springs if you were to go to Goofy's Candy Co. And they don't really have that anymore. And I know, because my little sister was very upset about that on her last visit. She was like, I want a pineapple chocolate. What do you mean it's gone? And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. I don't make these decisions. Like, but no, it's funny you mentioned that. And yeah, Zuri's is a great little spot, very similar to like Big Top or the confectionery, where you're going to find treats in the case. That's located in the Africa Pavilion towards the back in the Haramba Marketplace. So worth a stop if you want a sweet treat. Last few spots before we're going to switch the second half of the episode to more like sit down quick service, as well as full sit down and signature dining. I want to mention a few other locations, and that's the Harambe Fruit Market, which is located in the back of Africa right before you go on a safari. A lot of people love this spot, not just because you can get quick snacks, fruits, vegetables, and, you know, things like that. You can also get hot dogs, beers, whatever you want in that category. But a lot of people love getting the corn on the cob back here. That's one of the more popular Disney snacks that you'll find at Animal Kingdom. So it is something that is worth mentioning. And the last one I really want to mention here in terms of the snacks is Kusafiri Coffee Shop and Bakery, a real hidden gem in Animal Kingdom. Again, located in Africa. It's right across from the Harambe Market. And this has one of the better coffees you're going to find in Walt Disney World. It's starting to become more popular on social media and stuff like that. But one of our team members actually pointed it out to me. She's our honorary coffee drinker. You already know who I'm talking about, Alyssa. But
I do. Her name is synonymous with coffee.
Yeah, it's true. But she mentioned how popular this one is over there. And it is growing in popularity, but essentially it's a cold brew that has coconut in it. And you wouldn't think that would be such a good flavor, but it is very, very good. They offer at Kusafiri, what's cool about it is they have several different menus, one for during the breakfast hours, very unique breakfast options, one during the lunch hours, one during dinner. Like, this is very cool how they have that for such a small little location. So the reason I'm bringing this up, and I hope the point you're gathering from the first half of this entire dining guide to Animal Kingdom episode, is that there are so many like quick options that really pack a punch at Animal Kingdom. In fact, wow, I almost missed this one, Alyssa, and this one might be my favorite one. So I'm really glad I caught this before we go to the second half of the episode. And that is over at on the way to Asia, rather, that's the Smiling Crocodile stand. This, okay, just hear me out. I know it sounds crazy. The reason I really like this spot is they have these little seasoned French fries that are just really, really amazing. If you like fries, if you like that sort of thing, it's worth stopping at. It's worth grabbing something. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm mixing this up. Smiling Crocodile is the taco stand. Bear with me, guys. I know. See, there's so much food options at Animal Kingdom. I can't even get the right place.
The quick service or the table service yet?
It's amazing. I can't seem to figure it all out. There's so many places. I'm mixing things up left and right. However, let me pull up the correct name of the quick service option here. But essentially, if you are walking over to
information on the podcast, Jared.
I know. I just spend all this time talking about, you know, food at Animal Kingdom, and I can't even seem to get anything correct here. So that's how my life's going. As soon as I pull up the correct name, I'm going to mention it here. Don't worry. But the point is that there is an amazing little stand if you are walking over to Asia from Africa on that path back there, and they have the seasoned French fries. Lots of people love them over there. You can also get chicken dumplings, which is a great spot as well. So these I'm going to make here is that's actually brought me to a perfect point. There are so many great quick options at Animal Kingdom, so many great little snacks. In fact, when I was looking at, you know, the game plan for this episode, Alyssa, I was, you know, looking at everything that I had sort of written down and you know, brought up. And I was like, wow, there isn't a lot of sit-down restaurants at Animal Kingdom, like not a lot of fine dining or sit-downs. And I'm like, you know what? That's kind of okay because it's not the park you really sit down. You just grab all these great little things and keep going, you know? Like it's one of those parks. It's hard to explain, but yeah.
And I think there's also a lot to do in the park, even though, you know, people don't see it that way, but there is. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who they don't want to take their time sitting down for a meal. They want to eat and go. But as I know you and I are going to tackle in the second part of this episode, there are a lot of great places to sit down, take your, mm-hmm. you know, take a load off, get in the air conditioning. And I'm excited to talk about that after the break.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many that it's almost like kind of wild to me that you could almost never really go hungry when it comes to, you know, snacks or quick service options or anything really to grab at Animal Kingdom. So with that, though, we are going to talk about the second half of the episode. By the way, that location I was referencing, its name is Mr. Camel's. Mr. Camel's is that little stand that you can stop by on the way over to Asia. They have seasoned fries, dumplings, things like that. People really love these. We've actually written an article about how they're like beloved seasoned fries. So I'm not just joking about it. I swear it's one of Disney's favorite, a lot of Disney fans' favorite snacks on property. So let's transition, though. And before we do, I do want to mention, of course, as I always like to at the midway point of every episode, that this episode of the Mickey Bot Podcast is brought to you and sponsored by Mickey Travels. And Mickey Travels is a nationally recognized leader in Disney vacation planning. They are diamond earmarked by Disney and their services are always 100% free. So reach out today for a free quote on your Disney vacation at MickeyTravels.com. That's MickeyTravels.com, making magic one vacation at a time. And as I like to mention in the last episode, when it comes to Mickey Travels, all of the Mickey Travels agents are going to be as big of experts on all this as we are, if not even smarter than Jared, I promise you. And they'll be able to give you expert advice on where to grab quick bites, but also, hey, I want a character dining experience. I want a sit down. They'll help you get those reservations that are difficult to get. They are the ones that will wake up for you at 5 a.m. to get those Disney dining reservations. I've seen them do it. It's amazing that they're able to continuously do it because of that. So just be aware of that. If you are planning a Disney trip, just reach out to Mickey Travels. They can help you plan and book your Disney vacation at zero additional cost. It really is a no-brainer. So if we're going to transition to the second half of the episode and talk more food, I just wanted to say, Alyssa, like, I just wish we had enough food at this park because I feel like
right now we haven't even talked about places to sit down.
And I know.
I'm full.
I know. I'm in the same boat as you, I think. So first we'll talk more sit downs for quick service, and then we'll talk sit downs for, you know, more table service or, you know, more fine dining, things of that nature, signature dining. So for more quick service sit downs and things like that, there are several options at Animal Kingdom throughout the park. Again, as I mentioned in the last episode, when it came to Magic Kingdom, these locations are sporadic and located all throughout the park. So right off the bat, Flame Tree Barbecue. When you're walking into the park, you're going to notice this on the right. Flame Tree Barbecue is a great location. It has obviously lots of barbecue options, but it does have other options beyond that. Lots of really great sides if you're into things like, you know, mac and cheese or things like that. But you can also get some really great views back there. There's a lot of seating. It is, all their seating is outdoors. However, a lot of their seating is covered. There's fans, and you can get some great views of Expedition Everest back there. So it's a great little spot to sort of stop by. Moving forward with other quick service options for people to sit down and grab like a full lunch or dinner, Pizzafari, very similar to Pizza Rizzo with their style of pizza. However, Pizzafari also has things like sandwiches, so you can get a chicken parm sandwich or a meatball sandwich, things like that. You can actually grab that all over at Pizzafari, and Pizzafari is located if you're walking into the park towards the left. So hopefully I'm doing better with directions this episode compared to last episodes. and then moving on, a few other locations I want to mention. Harambe Market. Harambe Market is located, obviously, as Alyssa was mentioning, near Zuri's. It's in Africa towards the back. The thing I like about Harambe Market is there are several different locations for you to find something to eat back here. There's a lot of different options. And yeah, do you have anything you wanted to add about any of these locations before I continue along with the quick service?
No, I mean, I think they're all really good. What I like really a lot about Flame Tree Barbecue is I love the there's a lot of seating at Flame Tree. There is, yeah. And a lot of it's covered, some not, but a lot of it's covered. So I kind of do like that. Again, I'm sort of thinking in terms of the heat and all that. And I do think they have very good, very, very good food. And the crazy thing about Pizzafari is I know it's sort of like that mass produced pizza and Caesar salad and all that kind of stuff. But I have to say you are spot on. It is a very it's very analogous to Pizza Rizzo in Hollywood Studios. But it's actually, I actually like it. I think the mm-hmm. I think it's actually, is it like Italy pizza? No.
No, not exactly.
Yeah, but no, but it's a good thing, and the kids seem to like it. And they do have indoor and outdoor dining, dining areas. So again, get out of the heat. You can, you know, the dining room, and it's actually a very pretty restaurant inside. It's very colorful. So I did want to say that. Yes, I think those two, I think are, always great options. And I think the kids, they're very kid friendly as well.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. And I think these are great options if you have a family and you're trying to get something quick, you're trying to get an AC break, you're not trying to spend a ton of money. You can get all of these options for not just lunch, but also dinner as well. Beyond that, there's also Restaurantosaurus, another quick service options. This is going to be very similar to, let's say, Cosmic Rays in regards to having burgers, chicken tenders, sandwiches, salads, things of that nature. You can find Restaurantosaurus, believe it or not, in Dino Land. Don't worry, there are lots of options in there as well for everybody. And the last few I want to mention when it comes to more quick service style dining is Yak and Yeti local food cafes. There's a Yak and Yeti sit down, which we're going to talk about as well. But Yak and Yeti also has a quick service option. And I will say I really love Yak and Yeti's quick service option. You can walk right up. You can get chicken fried rice for literally, I think it's like $6 or $7. That's one of my quick if I need food and not want to spend a ton of money on a hurry. That's always a great option. There's a lot of.
You know what I love about Yak? Can I say one thing, Jared? The thing love about Yak and Yeti. Well, I'm obsessed with Yak and Yeti sit down.
Oh, I know. We got some time set aside for that.
I do want to mention about the Yak and Yeti quick service. And the thing that I always love, now, to be fair, I have not had it in a while. So if this has changed, please correct me, Jared. But I love how they serve the lo mein or the fried rice in the Chinese takeout containers. Yep. I'm assuming they still do that. Again, if I'm wrong, correct me. There's something kind of really authentic about that versus giving a plate of rice, like rice on a plate. You follow what I'm saying? I always loved that aspect of the Yakiniti quick service.
No, they still do that. Okay. I used to get, and I still do it every once in a while, I'll get my fried rice in one of those little boxes and I'll just continue my walk.
It's super fun. There's something really kind of like just authentic about it. That they could throw it on a plate or put it in a bowl and it would be the same, but it wouldn't feel the same. So I want to say shout out to Yakiniti Quick Service for still putting their meals in the Chinese takeout containers.
Hey, it's the little things sometimes.
Yes.
And then the last quick service we have to mention, and I wanted to reserve a few minutes for this, is Setuli Canteen. This is located over in Pandora. This is the most popular quick service location that you're going to find and the most unique. And I dare say it's easily, in my opinion, in the top three quick service locations in Walt Disney World. And I think most people would agree with that. The reason is the food quality is very, very high comparatively to what you're going to find, especially at a theme park quick service option where you're used to finding chicken tenders and fries and burgers and fried food. You can get salads, you can get bowls, you can get, you know, noodle bowls, rice bowls. They have several different kinds of meats if you wanted to add meats to your... and then, of course, they have the cheeseburger pods, which are, you know, basically bao buns with cheeseburger flavors inside. So lots of unique food over here. And to me, if you're going to eat at a place in Animal Kingdom, this is something that I would say is a must do. That's out of all the options we've spoken about. There's some of those that I've, again, like, you know, getting fries at Mr. Camel's, I also think you should must do, but you can still fit both of those in, I promise. The point is that when it comes to a proper sit-down quick service, I think this is a must do.
I also think the thing about Setuli Canteen, in my opinion, which I love, and I'm going back to what I said a little earlier, is it is very much a storytelling type of quick service location. The menu and the offerings wouldn't make sense anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, when you enter Pandora, you're not on Earth anymore, right? You're in Pandora. And I feel that Setuli Canteen allows you to stay in Pandora versus if they were, you know, offering, you know, just something that was just like, you know, burgers and fries and chicken tenders, which I believe you can get those. I think you can, right? I think you can still... Maybe the kids can, I don't know, you know, most places, if you ask for like chicken tenders, you know, they usually have them somewhere. But the point is that it just wouldn't make sense with the story, but everything about the food, even the bowls that they're served in, right? They're sort of odd shaped. Everything is just, it just looks like it's not really something you'd find on Earth.
No, I totally agree with that. I think it is a very unique menu and they do a great job with the presentation, like Alyssa was just talking about. This is a location you can use mobile order, by the way. So in fact, they're going to encourage you to use mobile order if you're walking up there, just so be aware of that, especially if you're walking up towards very busy launch time periods. But their seating inside and their seating outside, it really is immersive when you're inside. The decor everywhere really does put you in that world of Pandora. So they do a fantastic job with the theming at Animal Kingdom in general, as Alyssa was alluding to earlier. But I just wanted to definitely spend a few minutes there talking about Setuli Canteen, because in my opinion, it is, you know, one of the coolest and most unique options out there. And a must do, frankly, at Animal Kingdom. So we are going to transition to the last part of our episodes where we talk more about the table service, character dining, fine signature dining, things of that nature that you can find at Animal Kingdom. Starting with Tiffin's Restaurant, this is a popular and really growing in popularity restaurant over in Animal Kingdom. The cool thing about Tiffin's is it is located and attached to the Tambu Lounge. So a lot of times people will have a reservation for Tiffin's restaurant and maybe they got to wait a while, or maybe there's a long wait for walk-ups and you can go sit at the Tambu Lounge. But Tiffin's restaurant does serve seafood. They serve steaks. They serve lots of different dishes. They serve even a very unique, like, fancy version of a ramen, which is pretty cool. So this is a very nice restaurant. People tend to love it. Really don't hear a lot of bad things about Tiffin's. So if you are looking for more of a signature dining, more sit downs, they do serve things like African food, Asian food, Latin food, things of that nature. So it's more unique in terms of its menu, but again, you are getting that signature dining experience. Moving on here, we have the Rainforest Cafe, believe it or not, has a location at Animal Kingdom. Now, this isn't, of course, Rainforest Cafe isn't exactly the fanciest meals in the world. Maybe it is, or who knows? So certain people out there might say, hey, I love Rainforest Cafe, and I'm not going to talk poorly on Rainforest Cafe. I love that they have a location over in Animal Kingdom. So this location is located really right at the very front of the park. Obviously, always a fun time for kids. Something if you're like, we got to hit something on our way out the park. Also pretty easy where you can do that before you go to your bus or your car. And for all you dads out there, this is important information. All right. Really the only location you're going to find a TV in Animal Kingdom. Fun fact. How do I know that? Don't ask. The point is there is a TV, a few at the bar at the first staff. Exactly. If it's a Sunday and your NFL team is on, you know, I've seen dads on Sundays during the fall, Alyssa, with their jerseys on and they got their phone and they're like trying to see what their team's doing while they're walking around Disney. So yeah, just wanted to briefly mention that.
Well, the other thing about Rainforest Cafe that's also noteworthy, and you may have said it, so I apologize if I missed this, is you don't need to enter the park. You know, you said it was outside the park, but you don't need a park reservation. I mean, I'm just saying if you're still an annual pass holder or what have you, or if you're a guest, you don't have to use, I shouldn't say a park reservation. You don't need to use a park ticket to get into the park. You don't have to use, you know, if you're like, oh, I just want to eat there, but I don't really want to go into Animal Kingdom. You know, you have that option to eat there and not have to go. Whereas if you wanted to eat at Truly Canteen or Tiffin's or any other place, you have to obviously use your park ticket to get in. So that's something that's, you know, kind of nice.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that because there is that entrance right outside of the park. So you don't have to enter. You can enter when you're in the park as well. Like there is an entrance inside of the park to Rainforest, but there's an entrance outside of the park. So if you just felt like I want to go to Rainforest Cafe, but I don't want to go to the one in Disney Springs where it's mobbed 24/7, then maybe that is an option for you. Maybe you just want to go to the Rainforest Cafe over at the entrance to Animal Kingdom. So two more main restaurants I want to mention here. Tusker House Restaurant is a character dining experience over at Animal Kingdom. This is a very popular spot. I know Alyssa can confirm it's something that books up far in advance. Lots of people love Tusker House. My family and I always went to Tusker House, in fact, usually for brunch. I really love the brunch over there. They have a huge buffet, lots of breakfast items, and you also get to meet the characters. And this is more the Fab Five characters. You're going to meet Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, but they're going to also be in their safari outfits, which is really cool and unique because you're not going to see those outfits really anywhere else. So I kind of like that, Alyssa, how you can kind of see, you know, characters in unique outfits there. Again, it goes with what you were saying earlier, like everything is on theme in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. I mean, I think if you go to a lot of the character meals, you'll see these characters in costumes that you don't see in the parks. You know, which is kind of cool. And I agree with you. I mean, I know Mickey and Minnie do a meet and greet in their safari costumes at Animal Kingdom, but here you've got all of them. And that's just a unique thing. And I think the kids really like to see these characters dressed, you know, in the area that they're in, which is obviously Animal Kingdom. therefore the safari. So yeah, and I will agree with you. Tusker House books up very, very quickly. I actually find, I don't know if every Mickey Travels agent would agree with me, that the Tusker House breakfast seems to be even more popular than the dinner. I mean, they're both very popular, but that one books up even a little bit quicker.
And the one thing I'll say about character dining, especially at Animal Kingdom, like this is your one real character dining experience. So, and Animal Kingdom typically has, you know, shorter park hours than the other parks. Animal Kingdom is going to close at 8 p.m. often. That is mostly due to taking care of the characters, or sorry, the animals. So you know, you have to be able to make sure they can, you know, get taken care of by all the character or the animal handlers back there. But either way, a great piece of advice that a Mickey Travels agent actually once said on one of our group calls, Alyssa, was she mentioned eating at Tusker House either first thing in the morning or at the very end of the day. So you can either start your day with characters or end your day with characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good advice because you do have this valuable park time. You want to be able to enjoy everything during the day. And if you go over there, you can expect to be there for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, you know. So being able to do it right at, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at the end of the day means you're finishing your day with the characters and then you walk out of the park. So
absolutely.
Last place, I don't know if you like this place, Alyssa, but Yak and Yeti restaurant located over in
Asia. I don't
really
want to talk about Yak and Yeti. No
interest. Let's just move on. It's an Asian restaurant.
We've been discussed. I think it's irrelevant. Yeah.
It's okay, I guess. Anyways, it's a great Asian fare restaurant. They have more Chinese food, American. There's a little bit of everything here, but it is obviously more Asia focused, being that it is located over in the Asia section of the park. Very cool atmosphere inside. There are 5 bar stools inside, by the way. So don't think you're going to be able to get a drink there easily. I've never been able to sit at the bar in there. There's always the 5 bar stools just filled. And now here's my little secret, okay? Only for the podcast listeners. I said in the last episode that I would reveal secret menu information from Animal Kingdom, and that is what I'm going to reveal right here. If you walk in to Yak and Yeti and walk up to the bar, you can say, "Take me to the summit." Say that to the bartender, and they will reveal a little barcode. You can scan that on your phone, and it's a full secret menu of cocktails and drinks at Yak and Yeti. Very, very cool. I learned that actually only last year, Alyssa. So it's not something that like I've known my whole life. Like I remember being like, I am a Disney Parks reporter and I didn't know this. Like, how do I not know these things?
You weren't 5 years old, walked up to the bartender and said, "Take me to the summit."
No, but I'm just saying, like, even I had been in this profession for like 2 years and I still didn't know about it. So it is pretty secret. And you know, I'm just revealing for our listeners and viewers who actually pay attention, that's for you. Definitely go enjoy that the next time you go over. One thing I did learn is someone told me it was at Thirsty River Bar, and I looked like an idiot when I walked up to that bartender and said, "Take me to the summit," because they looked at me and they were like, what do you want? So I said, "Isn't there a secret menu?" And they said, "Oh yeah, wrong place. You got to go into the Yak and Yeti place."
That is so funny.
Yeah. Learn that. And confirm.
I would say Yak and Yeti, just a couple quick things. So, you know, for many, many years, I had clients who always wanted to book Yak and Yeti, and I had not been. This is going back. And I was like, okay. And I used to book it for them. And then and we never went. That was never on our list of restaurants. And then one year, many years ago, we decided to go. And I was like, whoa, like game changer, life changing. Couple things I like to mention about Yak and Yeti. They do have walk up. But I will tell you that what I would do is if you want to do a walk up, you could wait 1 to 2 hours. Just go do something else. You know, put your name in and then, you know, kind of do your thing. I do recommend if you can get a reservation, it is not always easy. But again, we've done a walk up many times. They do have 2 levels of seating. So they have a downstairs and an upstairs. I love the fact that, again, it's air conditioned. It's very well themed. And the thing that I noticed the most about Yak and Yeti is you can't finish your plate. The portions are huge. huge. I mean, if you look at the ahi tuna nachos, you know, 2, 3, 4 people can't finish it. I usually get like a vegetable lo mein. I always take it home, at least half of it. They just, their food is amazing. And they have the best tempura green beans with like an Asian dipping sauce. Oh my gosh. I could just eat those all day long. Everything's great. The drinks are so fun and different. It is a must do, and you will not leave hungry, and you will love everything that you're eating. You'll have leftovers for the next day. I know a lot of people are like, well, I'm staying in a hotel. Let me tell you something. I've taken it back to the hotel when we used to go, you know, vacation year. And in the morning, that would be my breakfast the next morning. I'm eating lo mein or fried rice or something, you know. But it is absolutely, not only is it my favorite food in Animal Kingdom, it's easily a top five at the Walt Disney World Resort for me.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big statement right there. Yeah. So I
like, it is not Summer House, but it is a top five for sure.
One of the things I love about Jack and Yeti is the unique food options. For example, for desserts, you can get fried wontons, dessert wontons. These are skewers of fresh pineapple and cream cheese wontons with vanilla ice cream, honey, vanilla drizzle. That's a very unique option. But again, also the pricing, Alyssa. I think this is like, you know, hopefully Disney isn't listening and being like, you know what, you're right, we got to up these prices. But I really do like how the prices are very reasonable.
All of a sudden they're like, yeah, change of pricing on the menu.
They're like, oh, you like the cheap prices? How about this? And but no, I mean, you're going to see a lot of menu items underneath $25 that are really big portions. And even some menu items underneath $20 that are really great, you know, portions.
Again, so, portions are big. So all joking aside, you can get a couple meals. Out of a meal. Like, I mean, if you want to and you want to take it with you because it's that good, you're getting a couple meals out of it. So it is a value for sure.
It absolutely is. And I hope that, you know, we've convinced at least one or two people to go over there to try it out. And we hope we've convinced at least one or two people to try out many of the different options we discussed, because we talk lots of food at Animal Kingdom. There's lots of things to try. Again, we talked extensively in the first half of the episode about a lot of those stands and quick service options that you can grab and go. We did talk about all the different more family-oriented quick service dining options for lunch and dinner that you can sit down, whether it's inside or outside. And of course, we did talk about sit-down table service, character dining, signature dining towards the end of the episode. The real point of this episode is to not only give you a full guide to dining at Animal Kingdom, but to really hammer home the point that Animal Kingdom has become one of the most underrated spots to grab food in Walt Disney World. The food's amazing here. There's so many good options, a lot of unique options, including grabbing an ice cream sandwich, which again, I don't want to keep hammering home that point, but Dino Bites, go to Dino Bites before it's gone forever. So we really appreciate everybody who watched and listened this episode. If you're new here, we want to welcome you here to the Mickey Blog Podcast. Please go check out some of our other episodes. If you did like this episode, of course, give us a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button. That helps us continue to grow, to be able to give more episodes out to the world. And if you are new to Mickey Blog, of course, head over to MickeyBlog.com, where you can read the latest and greatest in all things Disney, and follow us all over social media. We are on every social media platform, posting fun, lovely Disney videos, photos every single day for you to make you want to book that next vacation, which we hope you do soon. And we hope you do with our friends over at Mickey Travels. So thank you so much for tuning in. We can't wait to see you guys next week in another edition of the Mickey Pod Podcast. Tune in every single Friday for a new episode. Thanks so much, and have a magical rest of your day.